Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
Father, we just give you praise and we give you glory and honor. And we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for your presence in our life. And Father, we thank you for your presence. There will be awakened inside of your people like never before in these last days. For you've given us a promise that where sin abounds, your presence does much more abound. And we just thank you for that. Father, we thank you. We lift up this nation. We thank you for this nation. And we thank you, Lord, that no matter what people are planning behind the scenes for their own agendas, that you have an agenda for this nation. And we just thank you and praise you, Father, that no matter how many men join together, your agenda wins. And we thank you. We lift up this next election, Father, and we just ask that you'll cause those men and women that have their heart bent towards you, that have an ear to hear and eyes to see, that you'll cause them to rise to prominence, just like you did with Joseph. And we just thank you for that. We lift up our president in the name of the Lord Jesus, and we declare he is the protection of the Lord is on his family and on his children. We thank you for supernatural wisdom, that he'll block out the things that are being said to him round about, that he'll hear you. And he'll have an ear to hear, and he'll direct his life and direct his decisions accordingly, according to your will and according to your desires. And we just thank you and praise you for that. That your word declares that the heart of a king is in the hand of the Lord, and you turn it whichever way you desire. So we just thank you for that and lift up our president. And Father, I thank you for the future of this nation. I thank you, Lord, that your will be done. I thank you, Lord, that you'll cause this nation, because of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and the outpouring of your presence through your church, to cause this nation to be a light on a hill. We just thank you and praise you for that. I lift up all the people in this room, Father. I thank you for them. I thank you for the seeds that they've sown today in their worship and in their finances. And I thank you, Father, that as they partook of communion, that you would cause those elements, the revelation of what those things are, to explode on the inside of them, Lord. That you have scars on your back for the wholeness of their physical bodies. And for the blood of the new covenant that you declared was the cup of blessing. And I thank you, Lord, that we've partaken of the cup of blessing today. That you've blessed us so that we can live a blessed life and also be a blessing to those around us. And thank you for the covenant that you made with Abraham. Thank you for the blessing of Abraham, for the indwelling presence of your Spirit on the inside of us, that we have ears to hear and eyes to see those things that natural man does not hear, does not see, because that's where you've created us to function. And we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. 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 Well, I just want to make mention of this. For those of you that did not know, we do have the capability now of creating not only CDs for the messages that we do on a weekly basis, but we also have MP3s. The order forms are back there on that table, and the instructions on the order form are on there as far as the cost for the CDs. You know, we try to keep it as minimum as possible, and we just made it $2 per CD. You know, that's more than reasonable. But the MP3s are free. All you have to do is fill this out. Circle which one you want, CD, MP3, both, whatever. I mean, maybe you want to give these to somebody else. That's awesome. My desire is to see the word that Father gives us in this church to go out and explode all over the city. Because I believe it's significant. I believe the Spirit of God wants to do things in these cities, the surrounding neighborhoods that we live in, because His presence wants to come out of us. So I would just say, you know, I'd remind you, if you want these, give us at least a week. And we'll have the MP3s. If you desire an MP3, we'll just email it to you. We'll email you a link to Dropbox. I should say that. Dropbox is a very is a great online tool that we have right now. Eventually, we'll have the ability to put it on our website. You can just download straight from there. But right now, if you desire MP3s, email us at the church. And it's one that's not on here. Let's put that on here as the email address. If you don't know it, it's on the front sign. If you don't, so you can write it on your way, write it down on your way out. But we'll send you a link to Dropbox. Download that, and then everything that we do on a Sunday morning, it will be in that folder, Best Life Church Sunday Morning Services. So it automatically will go to you as soon as it's uploaded into that folder. Otherwise, it needs to be ready the next week. So I just want to make mention of that and remind you of it, and those belong to you. All right, how many have your Bibles? Well, if you would, go over to John real quick, and then we'll jump right over to 1 Corinthians. We've been endeavoring to wrap up a series, Living in the Vine. Let's go to John chapter 4. Jesus is speaking, and actually, let's just go right above chapter 4 and chapter 3 there. He says in verse 34, he says, "He whom God has sent speaks the words of God." And I'm going to touch base on this real quick. We went over this last week, but I want to touch base with it again as a foundation. Verse 34 says, "He whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure." And I have heard it said, you know, because in verse 35 it says, "The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. He who believes in the Son has, on an ongoing basis, continually eternal life. But he who does not obey on an ongoing, continuous basis, who does not obey the Son on an ongoing, continuous basis, will not see on an ongoing, continuous basis eternal life or life. But the wrath of God abides on him." What I want to point out in this is this. In verse 34, it says, "He whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure." And then in verse 35, most people jump to the fact that this verse is really only speaking about Jesus. Because it says the Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. The challenge with that is, if you go to John 17, let's go over there real quick. John 17. See, what I believe the Spirit of the Lord is trying to do in the body is to break the limitations and the shackles off of us that have been put on us just from incomplete pictures. And let's look at John 17. I take that back, John. Let's go back to John 16. It says in verse 12, it says, "I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them." How many know Jesus has things he wants to say all the time? John 14, he said, "In that day," the day after the resurrection, "in that day, I'm going to be coming to you on an ongoing, constant basis." Did he stop? Because, you know, I have to tell you that when I was growing up in church, without really saying it, the mindset was he stopped. Because he gave you the print, and that's all you need, and there's nothing else. And, you know, he doesn't talk to people anymore. That left with all the apostles. Well, that part of it may be true, but that wasn't because God decided that was going to be the way it was. It was because you began to have natural men come into the church. Paul spoke about it. He said, grievous wolves will come in. I know when I leave that grievous wolves will come in. They'll come in for the sole objective is to gather people off away to themselves and their way of thinking and their way of doing things. And you saw that in the second century of the church, where basically Christianity was made the national religion. And you had kings in authority that were putting natural men in positions of authority in the church that had no insight into what this is actually saying. I mean, that's a dangerous thing. Because then what happens is you begin to have natural interpretation of spiritual words. And Paul even said in his writings, says the natural man, the things of the Spirit of God are foolishness to the natural man. Because the natural man can only go by what he sees. He can't go by what he doesn't have access to the things that Jesus spoke about in John 3 to Nicodemus, saying, you know, we speak of the things that we know, but you don't listen. The we there was Father and me. In John chapter 4, he said, you know, the Son ascends into heaven. And then he said, you know, the fields are white unto harvest. They're always, the way it's worded in the Greek is that they're always white unto harvest or facing harvest. If you just lift up your eyes where? Lift up your eyes and see things from Father's perspective. Because natural man says, okay, well, there's a season and there's 4 months until the harvest. And Jesus said, I understand that you say that. But if you lift up your eyes and you see things from Father's perspective, you see things from heaven's perspective, you do things like I do. We only say what we hear a Father saying. You know, that's why it's so important you stay in this. How many of you can, read this and not hear what your Father's saying? And we get all kinds of goofy stuff out of that. But you stay in this and you learn to hear what Father's saying. And then when you walk out your front door and you leave your Bible on your bedside or you leave your Bible on the coffee table next to the couch, you've trained yourself to know what Father's saying when you're out there. Because Father Jesus said, I have a lot of things I want to talk to you about. He said, but I can't because you're too dense. No, he didn't say that's my translation. You're dumb as a stump. No. Because they were just natural men. They didn't have the ability to see into spiritual things. So that's why he went ahead and said, I'm going to send you, in verse 26, the helper comes whom I will send to you from the Father. He's the Spirit of truth. He proceeds from the Father, and he'll testify about me. And in another place, he said this, all that the Father has is mine. Now, that would have been great, because that's really what it said in John chapter 3 at the end of the chapter. The Father's given all things to the Son. So it would be okay if that was where it stopped, to say, well, Father only gave Jesus the Spirit without measure. But the challenge is, see, Jesus turned around and said, the Father's given me all things, and so the Holy Spirit's going to take of mine all that's the Father's and show it to you. That doesn't sound like to me that's a Spirit with measure, is it to you? I said, is it to you? Because if Father gave Jesus a Spirit without measure, and all that the Father has is His, so the Spirit without measure and all that the Father has go together. Jesus turns around and says, all that the Father has is mine. But I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, and He's going to take of mine all that's the Father's, everything. Everybody say everything. And He's going to show it to you. So therefore, we should be able to say, all that the Father has is Jesus, but because of what Jesus did, in Him I live, move, and have my being. So all that Jesus has is mine, because the Holy Spirit's going to take of His and show it to me. Go over to Go to 1 John. See, I think part of the challenge that we have as new creation believers, folks, is we've been told to just live with limits. And the challenge with that is what that does is that creates a people that are a hybrid. They're part natural and they're part spiritual, but mostly natural because the system is telling them, just get back in your box, you can't go there anyway. So instead of learning and investing our lives to learn the ways of the Spirit of God, we just sit back and be victims all the time. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong. Please hear me. There's nothing wrong with if we have things going on in our life that we need prayer for, and we want to stand on the word and we want to see the Spirit of God and the promises of God burst forth in our life, and you know, to bring people around and say, can you agree with me on these things? And because you've been spending time in the word and meditating on the scriptures and giving your farm in revelation, and so you want to put pressure on that revelation. Okay? There's nothing wrong with that. But at some point, folks, we have to move from being, I'm the one that needs the help, please help me, to the one that knows how to release the presence of God out of us to somebody else. Because what happens so many times, if we're trained that you don't have the Spirit, you don't have all of the Spirit, you don't have access to the fullness of the Spirit that Jesus did, you automatically begin to see yourself as, here's Jesus and here's me. Oh God, please help. And you'll forever live your life here. When the challenge with that is Jesus said, everything that belongs to the Father that He's given to me, I'm turning around and giving it all to you. Because I'm giving you my Spirit. I love the way it says in the Greek New Testament, when He said, I'm going to send you another one. The word another is another of the same kind as me. He's going to send you another of the same kind. And you know, we know that the writings that Paul did to the Corinthians, he said, the Spirit is the only one that knows the thoughts that Father is thinking. So over here in 1 John, you thought I forgot about that, didn't you? 1 John chapter 5. Actually, chapter 4. You remember in John, and you'll see a lot of things that was in John that Jesus said, John pins in 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. He was the disciple that was the closest one to Jesus. So it's no wonder that he got it. Notice what it says here. And it starts off chapter 4 by saying, beloved, do not believe every spirit. But test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone into the world. But this you know. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is out from God. Every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist. Now you go down to verse 4. It says, you are out from God, little children. The word from there is the word, the Greek word ek, ek, means out of. So you are out of God. Everybody say this, I'm out of God. And that doesn't mean you're out of Him. That means you're from Him. You're out from Him. You are out of God. John chapter 1, to those that believe in Him, He gives them the authority to become the offspring of God. So you are out of God. You are out from God. And it says, you are out from God, little children, and have overcome them because greater is He that is in you. Notice it says that He is in you. Paul hammers this point in his letters to the Corinthians. Don't you know that the Spirit of God is in you? that you're the temple of the living God. He said he's in you. And he says he that's in the world. Let's just keep reading. It says, they are, he who is in the world, they are from the world, therefore they are speaking on an ongoing, constant basis as from the world, or as those that are out from the world. And the world listens to them. Now, notice in verse 6, he says, we are out from God. So he's contrasting those that are out from the world system. They speak out from that system. And so the people that are connected with that system, they listen to them because they're speaking out from that system. But we need not lose the context of what he's saying just because he moved on to verse 6 and says, and you are out from God, which he already mentioned. And then he just skips the whole, so you speak out from God. Because it's supposed to be an understanding in the mind of the reader. If the world speaks from what it's from, therefore, in contrast to that, a new creation believer is speaking out from where he's from or where they're from. So he goes on to say that he who knows God listens to us, and he who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. But you notice here he says that you're out from God, so the understanding is therefore you're speaking from God. Now let me ask you a question. If Jesus had the Spirit without measure and he spoke from God, then what kind of a measure of the Spirit do you think you have if he says you are out from him? Why did we ever believe that we just have part of it? That we don't quite have the same measure that Jesus had? If everything is exactly the same. Go over to Colossians. Colossians chapter 2, and let's look at verse 6. It says, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord. How many have received Christ Jesus the Lord today? Right? He says, walk in him. So that must be talking about an ongoing, constant environment. Having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. Verse 8, see to it that no one takes you captive. Everybody say religion. Through philosophy and empty deception, according to the traditions of men. Now you remember last week we talked to you that the scripture actually defines what religion is. I may remember that. I'm going to have no clue what I'm talking about. Should we just go back and take a look? Hold your place here. I'll show you. Go to John 4:22 first. John 4:22. And when you got it, say, I got it. John 4:22, Jesus makes this statement. He's talking to the woman at the well. We know she's a Samaritan, and she had her own ideas of and concepts of who God is and worship procedures and that kind of thing. Verse 22, Jesus said, you worship what you don't know. You worship what you don't know. Everybody say, you worship what you don't know. Okay, now go over to Luke chapter 22. No, I'm sorry, go to Acts 17 first. Acts 17, verse 22. Paul is in the city of Athens in Greece, and he notices, this is right around 53 AD, 50, some people say between 53 and 57 AD, and he notices a bunch of statues in the city of Athens. And he says in verse 22, says, Paul stood up in the midst of the Areopagus and said, Men of Athens, I observe that you are very religious. Everybody say religious. In all respects, for while I was passing through and examining the objects of your worship, I also found an altar with this inscription to an unknown God. Therefore, what you worship in what? What you worship in what? Ignorance. So religion is worshiping in ignorance. Jesus said it's worshiping what you don't know. Now, let's just get to the heart of and the foundation of where religion's coming from. Go over to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Look at verse 53. Jesus is in the garden. He's getting ready to go to the cross. He's getting ready to be, almost said taken hostage, but he's getting ready to be hauled in to stand before the religious leaders. And they show up, and of course, you know, Judas gives him a kiss on the cheek, gives him knuckles, whatever. And he told the guards from the temple that whoever I kiss, you know, that's who you need to take. So he went through that, did that. So Jesus said, man, what's up with this? I was with you every day. I was in your midst in the temple and teaching among you, and you never once hauled me in. But notice what he says here in verse 53 of chapter 22 of Luke. He says, while I was with you daily in the temple, you did not lay hands on me. But this hour and the power of darkness is yours. Let me ask you a question. Who was it that was standing in front of him? Was it just regular people? It was the religious system of the day. It was the religious system of the day. Folks, you know, here's the thing that people have missed down through the centuries. It wasn't the Jewish people that put Jesus on the cross. It was the system that was in place. Because what you don't realize is the leaders of the land, of the religious system of the day, they were put there by the Romans. And you even hear, if you examine their words, you even hear they were extremely fearful and jealous that this man was going to lead people away from under their dominion. And they didn't want that, because they had to answer to the Romans if that took place. So it was the system of religion that was in the land. Jesus, I mean, you know, you notice that when Jesus came into the earth, that demonic influences and demons were at home in the temples. Can you imagine that? Demons being at home in the temple. They should not be at home in the temples. That should be the last place they want to be. The presence of God is too strong. Don't want anything to do with that. Let's get out of here. But no, in the time that Jesus came into the earth, nobody knew who Father really was. He came in to display the secrets of who Father was. And he found demonic influences and darkness in the temple, comfortable. And so he tells these temple guards, he says, this is your hour, he says, but you need to understand that the power of darkness is with you. The power of darkness is always with religion. Because religion seeks to keep you from realizing the reality of the presence of Jesus. I think it's interesting that what we've found so much in the mindsets of what people think church is a presenceless environment. We can sing the songs, we can do all the things, we can say the right words, we can read scriptures, we can expound on the scriptures, we can talk about archaeological finds, we can do all kinds of things like that. But we've gotten comfortable just, Jesus really doesn't want to say anything. When Jesus said to the disciples, I got a lot I want to say, but I'll tell it to you after you're filled with my spirit, because he's going to take of mine and show it to you. So go back over to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, verse 8, Paul says this, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men. Everybody say religion. According to the elementary principles of the world. So obviously he's talking about the religious systems. Rather than according to Christ. Now look at verse 9. For in him, in who? In Jesus, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. And everybody says, amen. Because that's what we were taught. And it's true, because it says it right there. Right? How can we stop there? What's the rest of the verse say? And, everybody say and. Verse 10. And usually means you're connecting two thoughts together, right? And, or you're not done with the original thought. So all of the fullness of deity dwells in him, Jesus, in bodily form. And in him you have been made complete. That sounds pretty good. But let me tell you what it says more accurately in the Greek New Testament. In him you've been filled with the very same fullness. You've been filled with the very same fullness. Now go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. See, what human beings need to understand is you were created on this planet to live in the fullness of Father, because Jesus bought that for you. I mean, if he was obscure in his words and he didn't say anything about that, and we weren't really sure, then that would be one thing. But he told us, I'm going away. It's beneficial that I go away, because when I go away, I'm going to send you the Comforter. He's another of the same kind as me. And the Father's going to send you his Spirit so that he'll take those things that the Father's given me. Everything the Father's given me, he's going to take those things and he's going to show them to you. And his job is to show you those things to get you to step up into those things. That's what the Spirit of God's job is, because he revealed to Paul later on that the Spirit is the only one that knows the thoughts of Father. So Father gave us the Spirit, his Spirit, so that we would know all those things that he's given us, which is what? Everything. Including everything he's thinking any given minute. You see, there's a massive contrast between this as what Christianity is and what religious systems have tried to stuff Christianity into and make it look like everything else. You got a book. You got a dude at the top of the food chain. Believe in him so when you die you can go to a better place. That is the blueprint for every religion on the planet, pretty much. Right? It's just a different guy at the top. And a different book. But the difference between all those things that the system of religion, which is really comes from the natural world and darkness, is whom the Son has set free from that is truly free from that. How? Because he put his presence in us so that if we live by his presence in us, it keeps us free from those things. That's why Paul says, look, the same fullness that is in Jesus is in you. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I don't want to get into detail on this chapter yet. We'll probably do it in, you know, a number of weeks down the road. But I want to, can we roast a sacred cow here? I mean, I got plenty of barbecue sauce. Chapter 12 says this, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brother, I do not want you to be ignorant." Well, the King James says ignorant. My translation says unaware. So, well, let's scroll down past that real quick. We'll go back in a minute. But notice what it says in verse 13. It says, "For by one Spirit," I wonder which Spirit that is. The Holy Spirit, right? "By one Spirit, we were all made to drink." No, sorry, I skipped around. "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body." I wonder whose body that is. Isn't that the one that said that all the fullness dwells in Him in bodily form? Where are you? You're His body, right? So therefore all of the fullness of Him dwells in you. That's why Colossians said what it said. He says, "We were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greek, whether slaves or free." He's touching on some things he mentioned in chapter 1, verse 24. And he says, "And we were all made to drink of one Spirit." We were all made to drink of one Spirit. Now, that's not a temporary thing, is it? Human beings were made to drink of one Spirit, the Spirit of God. We were all made to drink of that Spirit. We were all made to be filled with the fullness of the Godhead. Jesus secured that. That's why He came in as a man. I'm so glad He came in as a man, so He secured it for men. That's why you notice in 1 John chapter 4 that the spirits of darkness don't want to say Jesus is in the flesh or as a natural man. They don't want to say He's a man, because if He's a man, that means a man holds the keys to all authority on the planet. They don't want that. They don't want man having any authority. They've tried hard to tell man you have no authority. They've tried hard to sell to man that you have absolutely zero control over anything. In fact, here's a nice saying. Why don't you stick this in the back of your car? No, I'm not going to say it. But you know what I'm saying. Stuff happens. But that's contrary to what the Word is. That's contrary to what Jesus bought for us. He bought that for every human being on the planet, because every human being on the planet is created to drink of one Spirit, the Spirit of God. Now, just real quick, we'll just touch base on this and then I'll move on. How many have heard people say that when it comes to the manifestations of the Spirit, look at verse 4, chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. He says, "There are varieties of gifts, but it's the same Spirit. There are varieties of ministries, it's the same Lord. And there are varieties of effects, but it's the same God." God who? Father. "Who works some things in people." Is that what it says? It's the same God the Father who works all things in some people. Is that what it says? Oh, I'm sorry. Must be the lighting. It's the same God the Father who works all things in all persons. And then in verse 7 it says, "Each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good or to profit." How many know a Father is interested in human beings being profitable and being on the receiving end of being profitable? And that means in everything. Here's the thing, just a side note here. We've talked about Galatians 3 as, you know, Jesus was He paid the price for us so that we would be a partaker of the blessing of Abraham. So many times we stop there and we don't read the rest of the verse. Because we stop there and we camp on the money. But it says that Jesus did what he did so we would receive the blessing of Abraham, so that we would receive the Spirit. The blessing of Abraham is not just material. It's material that was given to you because of your connection with his presence. See, we have to live in the connection of his presence. Be comfortable in his presence. And then as a result of that, here's a great revelation for you. It was the presence of God that created all the wealth that is on this planet. Right? How many agree with that? Darkness owns nothing. They're just stealing it. All of it belongs to, all the fullness that's in the earth belongs to Father. Right? So if you learn to live connected with his presence, everything that his presence created is drawn to his presence. I'm going to say that again. Everything that the presence of God created is drawn back to his presence. So that's why it's insane and nothing more than religious rhetoric to sit there and argue whether or not a Christian should be prosperous or not. How else? That just screams at the disconnectedness that the system has created as a Christian. Where else do you think you're going to end up if we understand that being a new creation means you're living and moving and having your being connected with his presence? Because he said in that day, I'm going to be on constantly coming to you on an ongoing, constant basis. What is he saying? In other words, we're going to have fellowship together. And you're going to learn to live with me in your presence. And as a result of that connection, where else do you think that connection is going to take you? Where was I at? Oh, 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. He says in chapter 12, he says, the same God who works all things in all people, and to each one is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Now, Here's what I was raised with. The mindsets, okay? We talk about mindsets here. We don't talk about individual entities or organizations. Because it's not the people, it's the mindsets. Do we understand that? We don't down entities or organizations or buildings or, you know, this persuasion of belief or that persuasion. We address mindsets that darkness has put into people. It's caused them to segregate into different places. Okay? Our, like Paul said, our war is not against flesh and blood, so we're not going to diss people. We value people. We love people. We want to lift people up. Jesus thinks people are amazing. What sucks is the mindsets that darkness has tried to infiltrate into the thought processes of people. What I was raised with was this. Well, yeah, there's a gift of the Spirit, but only for certain ones. Can you read? What does that verse say? In verse 6, there are varieties of effects, but it is the same God, the same Father, who works all things in all people. How does it do it? Verse 7. Each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit to each one. Are you one of those eaches? Why does he do that? Because of the blessing of Abraham. He wants us to be connected, live in his presence, so that any situation you'd be in, you gotta tool to use in that situation. Look at jump forward to verse 18. Okay, first of all, well, I didn't want to get into this, but verse 6 says the Father gives, He works all things in all people. The avenue is through His Spirit. Verse 13 says we were all created to drink of His Spirit. So therefore we must be all created to participate in all things. All of the gifts. All the manifestations of the gifts. And so then he goes on to say in verse 17, really it starts in verse 14, but he says, you know, it says, for the body is not one member, but many. And so then he goes through and talks about the foot saying to the hand, you know, you're not a foot, so get lost. If you don't do this, then you're not part of the body. Or the ear can't say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not a part of the body. He's dealing with exclusions. Can you say that, exclusions? In other words, he's getting ready to tell you, look, how crazy would it be if the whole body was one big ear? How crazy would it be for the whole body to be one big eyeball? And that every part on the body, all it was, it did the job of eyeballs. And that's the only job it did. Look at verse 18. Or verse 17 says, if the whole body was an eye, put this in here. Exclusively. It'll unlock the entire thing. He says, if the whole body were exclusively an eye, who would do the hearing? Where would the hearing be? If the whole were exclusively hearing, where would the sense of smell be? Verse 18, but now God has placed members, each one of them, in the body, just as He has desired. You know what's funny about that verse? Is everybody forgot what it said about God the Father in the first of the chapter. By the time we get to that verse, we're already thinking exclusively. But the problem is, it's the same God that placed all members, each one of them in the body, just as He's desired. It's the same one who works all things in all. So it's God who works all things in all members, who places each member in the body just as He's desired. It's the same God who works all things in each member and who's given us the manifestation of the Spirit to benefit or to bring profit in any situation. It's the same God the Father who's placed all members, each one of them in the body, who's given them, you know, who works all things in all of them, who's given us or made us to drink of the same Spirit. So you have to keep everything in context. So if you've been told that, well, there's only certain manifestations of the gifts that you'll ever see, that's just not true. Because if you're filled with the very same fullness of Jesus, I know this goes cross by what people have said, but folks, look, we need to quit bringing things over from traditional thinking and understand what Scripture says. If we're filled with the very same fullness, that's why at the very end of this chapter, he says, look, I'm going to show you a better way. He says, I'm going to show you a more excellent way. He said, I want you to earnestly desire the greater gifts. I want you to earnestly, what's the greater gifts or the best gifts? The best gifts are whatever gifts you need in any situation that you're in. If you need discerning of spirits because you need to know the motives behind who's talking to you. Did you know that's part of a discerning of spirits is the Spirit of God will show you the internal motives behind what people are saying? It's not just seeing demons behind things. How many know we need to be able to see people's agendas and motives? How many know when you read through the Gospels, that's one of the main things Jesus always picked up on. He discerned their wickedness. Discerning spirits. He knew where they were coming from. He knew what their agenda was. How many know if you're ministering to somebody and they got issues, a word of knowledge is nice. Because you need to have insight into what's going on in their life. We need to cut through all the Rolodex of what we've put in our heads and learn how to operate. Don't lean to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your steps. How many know you can be standing in front of two people, exactly the same outward issues in both people, but it's not the same situation. And the one that knows that is the Spirit of God. So you need a word of knowledge to know how to discern what's wrong, what's going on with this person versus what's going on with this person. My desire is that we come to the place, and I'll close here in a minute. We come to the place as a body of people that when we minister healing to people, you know, that we just don't, you know, it's fine to minister from the Word. We need to do that. But there are situations where you need insight into what's going on. Why is this on this person? What's going on here? The Spirit of God wants to show us how to minister wholeness by revelation from Him. You know, we're going to start here. Because otherwise you get all screwed up and you got to start here. You guys, probably not for you, but you know people. That it's like, you know, Christianity 101. Open the book. And spend time with it. I want to say this. Open the book and you read until He shines a flashlight on a verse and lights you up. Because He wants to show you things. Jesus said, I have things to say to you. So just, you know, Father, thank You for giving me Your mind. Holy Spirit, thank You for teaching me how to do my daddy things. I want to think like my daddy. So I'm going to read. Show me how to think. I want to see things from His perspective. So you approach it like that. Because Jesus has things to say. But He didn't create you just to have one gift. Or say it this way. He didn't create you just to have one manifestation of the gift. And you don't get any of the other ones. Because the fullness of the Godhead that dwelled in Jesus is in you. And you're complete in Him. Everybody say, I'm complete. That means you have no deficiencies. Right? Do a study in your Bible. And look at every place in the New Testament where the word grace is used. And then notice all of the descriptive words that seem to be surrounding that word. It's like if grace were a person, all of these descriptive words are His entourage. And everywhere He shows up, those words show up. Words like complete. Words like all sufficient. In all things. Able to abound unto every. You see all these words, they're all the same thing. That's what grace produces. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You come behind in no gift. Everybody say grace. The grace of God is not Him having empathy towards you. It's the grace of God is His presence, because of His presence, His power flowing through you. That's why you have no insufficiency. So, 1 Corinthians 12 is the gifts of the Spirit, or the graces of the Spirit. Why in the world? It's because we've been in the dark about what grace is. That we've allowed mindsets to say, I only have this one or I only have that one, when that's a direct violation of what grace produces in your life. That's a direct violation of what the presence of God and the working of His power produces in your life. It produces. How can you stand in front of somebody and not have access to the gifts of the Spirit, all of them, whatever one would bring profit to that individual? How can we stand and say, I don't have access to any of those, they're not mine, and still say, Romans chapter 5, he's placed me into this grace in which I stand. If you're standing in his grace, you're living and moving in heaven, you're being in his grace, therefore you have a right to expect in any situation you're in to not be standing there left in deficient because you don't have anything. Because grace was given to you for the very reason for you to be all sufficient in all things and able to abound unto every good work. Did you get that? Anything, get anything out of this today? All right. I didn't even touch any of my notes, but we'll get to them next week. No, I take that back. I got half of them. But next week we're going to go into Acts chapter 5. How many of you ever wondered why Ananias and Sapphira fell over dead? I know I did. I believe the Spirit of God showed me why that is. And it has to do with the grace of God. Let's just say it was bad marketing on their part. But we'll get into that next week. Everybody stand up. How many in this room have something physically going on in your body that you want to get out from underneath? Go ahead and maybe just start some background music or something, and just go ahead, everybody, come up here and line up, and we're gonna speak to those mountains this morning. Everybody that's left in the seats, just raise your hand towards these folks. Because the Word of God says you're all sufficient in all things, and that means, you know, the Word says that the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, right? And so if He dwells in you, Paul says that the same Spirit that dwells in you is there to quicken your physical body to wholeness. Because Jesus bought that for you guys. I'd have people come stand behind you guys, but, you know, there's no... Unless we take out the front row. One day we will have a place to do that. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you for these people. I thank you, Father, for the life of God that's in them. Father, I thank you that you've given us the authority to declare and speak to these mountains, be removed and be cast into the sea. And we don't receive any doubt in our hearts from the outside. Because greater is He that's in us than He that's in the world. And so we just thank you and we speak to these mountains in the name of Jesus. Every physical issue that's in these bodies, Jesus, you made all things new. We declare grace, 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 grace to these issues. And we declare that you have no right to stand and exist in the presence of the living God. You have no right to stand and exist in the temple of God. Because their bodies are the temple of God. And Father, we just thank you for that. Jesus, we thank you for the stripes, the scars that you have on your back that guarantee the purchase of our wholeness. And we declare to these bodies, we speak to you and we call you blessed. You're blessed. Every organ, every blood vessel, every tissue, every cell is blessed in the name of Jesus. And we declare grace and the strength and the presence of God in these bodies, they'll realize and be saturated with the presence of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, that the kingdom has come upon all of these people. The kingdom has come upon all of these people, Father, and the kingdom of God brings the power of God and the presence of God. And we just thank you for total wholeness. We declare total wholeness over these physical bodies. Every cell, every blood vessel, everything that is out of alignment and in disarray and rebellion. We command, we speak to you in the authority of the name of the Lord Jesus, and we declare that you have to get back in line. Because Jesus set you free. Raise your hands to heaven. Just say this, Father, thank you for setting me free. And I declare that I am free, but I'm free indeed. And I declare the grace of God is mighty in my life, that the presence of God is mighty in my body, that the presence of God is mighty in my lips, that the Spirit of God has His way in my life. And I thank you for that. And I thank you for total deliverance. And I thank you for the testimony of Jesus working in my life. How many agree with that? Amen. Amen. Every time you look at yourself in the mirror, you say, you're blessed. Body, you're blessed. Amen. Amen. Well, have a wonderful, wonderful week.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.